Blog Talk Radio. Hello, 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 and welcome to this awesome, awesome Sunday in the Lord. I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for your faithfulness. I thank God for how you always are praying for one another, and even when you forget, you still pray even the more. So I thank God for each and every one of you once again. I thank God for just how you all love him and how you all just love him with all that you know how and all that you can. And so, again, this is Let's Talk with Minister Cecilia Kaiser. Why did I say minister instead of all of the other titles that people call us? Because we are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're also on the line with Minister Sheila Kaiser. And so, yes, some people may call me this or that or by that title or this title, but the main thing is this is Cecilia. And I thank God for him allowing us to come together on today. So I'm going to begin with a prayer. Father God, we glorify you. God, we magnify you. We thank you for being our God and for allowing us to be your people. We thank you for creating us. We thank you for the destinies and calls that you've placed on our life. We thank you for protecting us throughout the night. We thank you for your traveling mercy that you've given each and every one of us. We thank you for waking us up this morning, God, without pain, without distress, without the cares of life bogging us down. But God, but you woke us up having faith and trust in you. And even those that are allowing worry or cares to get them down, God, you're reminding them right now and through this prayer that we're to trust you, God, that we're to obey you, God, and we're to lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways we're to acknowledge you. We thank you for protecting our children and our aunts and our uncles and our sisters and our brothers. We thank you for protecting us. We thank you for protecting our agencies that we work for and the leadership there. And we thank you for the people that work with us and that we work for and that work for us and that work alongside us, God. We thank you for your favor going with us and before us and staying there until we return. We thank you for the favor that you've given us with the presidents and the kings and the queens. God, we thank you for even the things that are happening in the spiritual realm, God, that they're being done for your glory. God, be glorified in all that we do and all that we say. We thank you for the marriages. We thank you for singleness, God. We thank you even for those that have gone through various divorces and various other things that may have caused them to feel inadequate and ashamed, God, but we ask you to let them know that you are a forgiver. And not only do you forgive, God, but you share your unconditional love with each and every one of us. So on today, we ask you that you would be the one that speaks through me and for me, God, so that your word will not only be heard, but even when they go back and listen to the archives, God, that not only will people be delivered and set free, but God, they will be encouraged. And this will be a rhema level of word that takes them to the next dimension, the next atmosphere, the next level, whatever their next is, God, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So today, I'm going to try to, you know, really read these notes and stuff that I have, because I really believe that this message on today is a profound message. I really believe that it's a rhema word from God. I believe this is something that God is saying to you and I. And I believe he's talking to us, his vessels, that carry the dreams and the visions that he's released in our lives. I thank God for allowing us to be his dreams. I like the fact that he loves us enough to make us his visionaries on earth and in earth. I thank God that some will have great and greater and even greater than that dreams and destinies that he's going to release in and through us for his glory, because he didn't have to, but he has. Genesis 37 and 19 says this about Joseph when they saw him come. They said to one another, here comes the dreamer. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Because, see, as dreamers, a lot of times we don't understand the timing of God, because that vision, that dream has been released, and sometimes it may be something that manifests quickly, and other times it may be something that manifests over the course of time. And so we don't always understand the timing of God. Acts 2 and 17 says, and in the last days it shall be, God declared, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see visions, and old men shall dream dreams. Genesis 40, verses 5 through 19. This is a summary of it, not all of it. And one night they both dreamed, talking about the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who was confined in the prison. And each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody, is his matters house? Why are your faces downcast? They said to him, we have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them. And Joseph said to them, do not interpreters belong to God? And so many times we have dreams and we may not understand them. And so people that have dreams aren't just the ones that are declaring Christianity, for this is a cup and a cupbearer and a baker who had these dreams. But yet God was going to use his man's servant to reveal to them the revelations of their dreams. And so now Joseph had a dream. And this is in Genesis 37, 5 through 10. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. See, not everybody's going to celebrate the fact that you're a dream and that you're a dreamer of God. He said to them, hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my chaff arose and stood upright. And behold, your chaff gathered around it and bowed down to my chaff. His brother said to him, are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, behold, I have dreamed another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and even the stars were bowing down to me. See, sometimes we're sharing our dreams because we're being boastful, and other times we're sharing our dreams because of the excitement, because we've been given a dream by God. And in Genesis 31 through 11, it says, then the angel of God said to me in a dream, Jacob. I said, here am I. See, sometimes the angels will come to you in the dreams and in the visions. And we have to be willing to hear the message that they had. The angels came to Mary. The angels came to Joseph, her husband. The angels will come to us in dreams. So let's be in a posture to receive the dreams and the manifestation of God's angels in your lives. Matthew 2 and 12 talks about, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed their own country by another way. See, sometimes dreams will come that are sent to warn us of things that are coming that are hurtful. And sometimes they're the dreams of, like Joseph had, of your future and things of that sort. Sometimes a dream can be that of which something you need to do in order to profit, in order to see the future, in order to give a foresight of things to come. Matthew 16:18 says, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." See, even in this, Peter is being told that on this rock the church will be built, you know, a forecast of something happening. Matthew 2:19-20 talks about how the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." See, there's sometimes you're given a dream that'll help you to be that person that's protected, and then other times it's to let you know that it's your season, it's your time, it's your destined moment to move forward. Matthew 2:11-12, "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." See, sometimes we're given dreams and visions from God, like we said, as a warning, sometimes that of an action that needs to be taken. But I want to share with you a rendition of a famous speech by Dr. Martin Luther King. And this Ionic speech actually happened in Lincoln Memorial, and this was back in March of 1963. Some people may not have been born at that time. Some people may have been infants at that time. Some people may have been adults. But during this time, it's a real hard time in America for people of African-American heritage, because this is a time when they were dealing with captivity and slavery and being released from slavery, because many could not see past the dogs that were attacking them. Many of them couldn't see past the lynching. Many of them couldn't see past the oppression and the suppression. And this is how the rendition of the speech went. 50 years ago, a great American, in whose symbolic shadow we stand today, signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon of hope to millions of Negro slaves. Yeah, who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice? It came as a joyous daybreak to the end, the long. My. Can you imagine? He's giving this speech, and he's talking about the Emancipation Proclamation. And let me get back to what he said. "And it came as a joyous and daybreak to end the long night of their captivity." Slavery is captivity, spiritual and natural. And then he said, "But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free." My Lord, yes. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of the vast oceans of material prosperity. 100 years later, my Lord, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash the check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was promised that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, my Lord, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America have defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned, my Lord. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. My. But we refuse to believe that the bank of injustice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there is an insufficient funds in the great vault of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check. Oh, yes, we have. A check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hollow spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off, to take the tranquilizing drug of granularization. No, this is the time to make real the promise of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift up our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nations to overlook the urgency of the moment, this sweltering summer of the Negro's legitimate discontent would not pass until there is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963, I'm going to throw in there 2019. It's not the end, but a beginning. And those who hope that Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have to have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundation of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But there is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm thresholds which leads unto the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy your thirst from freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred, my Lord. We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. I'm going to break from this speech to say, remember, even First Lady Michelle Obama said to take the high road. Okay, getting back to this phenomenal, profound speech from Dr. Martin Luther King in 1963. We must not allow our creative protest to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic height of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new malignancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people. For many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, talking about in 1963, have come to realize that their destiny is tied up with our destiny. And they have come to realize that their freedom intrinsically is bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. As we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. No, we can't. Remember that. He said we cannot turn back. I've got to stop on this message one more time, this speech by him. Dr. Martin said that we can't turn back. America, it looks like we've turned back. It looks like we're allowing the old Jim Crow mentalities, the institutionalized fears, the institutionalized segregation, the institutionalized sexism, the institutionalized ageism to come back. We cannot, we must not turn back. Now, getting back to his phenomenal speech, there are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as a Negro is a victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. I'm going to break again. And even the institutionalized segregations and the institutionalized fears that many of us suffer through in the various organizations that we work in. And all of these things of these microaggressions and these Uncle Tom-type mentalities, they must stop. They must be annihilated. They must be obliterated in the name of Jesus. Now, yes, let's get back to Dr. Martin Luther King's speech of he has have a dream. We can never be satisfied as long as our bodies, heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the city. We don't stop again. Many of us are able to stay in various lodging facilities, but what about the lodging that we're having and allowing in our minds? That's a whole nother message. So let's get back to the speech by Dr. Martin Luther King. We cannot be satisfied as long as the Negro basic mobility is from a smaller ghetto to a larger one. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by the signs stated for whites only. Because sometimes I have to defer from this speech again. It doesn't have to be a sign that physically stands there, but there are some that are in the behaviors of the people, that institutionalized segregation, that institutionalized discrimination, that institutionalized discrimination, that institutionalized microaggression, those institutionalized promotions of the silver spoon, that institutionalized people getting promotions and being allowed to do things that they're being allowed to do just because of the skin of their color, and the various drugs and things that are being brought into a community that says, oh, I may not be able to outwardly destroy you and discriminate against you, but I'll let these drugs rob you of your destiny. I'll let these crimes that African Americans and Hispanics and others are being accused of, you get 20 to 100 times the penalties of someone of white race. Let's get back to this message by Dr. Martin Luther King. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and then a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. Let's take a break again. We may be able to vote, but is it that they put you, so many of us, in the criminal system and all these other systems so you're not allowed to vote because of your criminal record, or you don't go and vote because you don't think that your vote matters, or you're so high or you're so drunk and this or that, that you're not even understanding what Dr. Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and so many went through just so that you can vote. Let's get back to this message and this speech by Dr. Martin Luther King. No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls like waters. Yes, righteousness like the mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here through great trials and tribulations, my Lord. Some of you have come fresh from the narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from the eras where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have then the veterans of creative suffering continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and the ghettos of the northern cities. Yeah, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair, my Lord. I say to you today, my friends, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. Yes, it is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Uh-huh. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day have in a nation where they will not be judged, that they will want, let me read this over again. I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, with the vicious racist, with his governor having his lips written with the words of interposition and nullification, one day, right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. Yeah, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is my hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, my Lord, we will be able to hew out the mountains of despair, a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discord of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day, this will be the day when all God's children will be able to sing with this, with new meaning, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing, land where my fathers died, land of pilgrims' pride. From every mountain side, let freedom ring. And if America, my, we're talking about America, people. It seems like we've gone back. Like I said, I got to take a break from this message one more time. We've gone back. We've gone backwards. We're talking about America, this great nation. We need to let freedom ring. Now, getting back to this speech by Dr. Luther King, and if America is to be a great nation, our president talked about let's return back to America. Our president, current president, talking about this or that. No, if America, according to this speech, according to this revelatory speech, according to this speech of Dr. Martin Luther King, who was made for such a time as this time in 1963, he said, if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heights of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the courageous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from the Stone Mountain of Georgia. Oh, yes. Let freedom ring from the Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from the Every Hill and Molehill of Mississippi. I must add this. Let freedom ring from the White House in America. Let freedom ring from the federal government in America. I must add this to his speech. Let freedom ring for this institution of government and private sector. Let freedom ring in the churches. Let freedom ring on the jobs. Let freedom ring in the classrooms. Let's get these books that are in all schools the same, not in inner city schools. The books are old and outdated. Let freedom ring in education, that when people are going for doctoral degrees and master's degrees and bachelor's degrees, and when people are going for promotions on the job and when people are in jobs. Let freedom ring. Let the freedom of God ring. Now let's get back to this message and this speech from Dr. Martin, where he's talking about he had a dream. How many of us on today have a dream? And his speech furthermore says, and when this happens, let it ring, let it ring. When we allow freedom ring, let it ring. When we let it ring from every village, every hamlet, from every state, from every city, we will be able to speed up the day when all God's children, black men, white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, yes, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. See, that was a speech by Dr. Martin Luther King in 1963. And why are we having these same type of actions and behaviors talking about let's return to a great America until freedom rings, we can't return to a great America. Until freedom rings, we can't make America great again. Until freedom rings, we cannot do the things that God has destined for us to do. Who in your life and in your life circle can you see where God has destined them to be in your life? These people have been put in your life because they want freedom to ring. They want you to be promoted. They want the dreams that God has given you to become fully manifested. They call you by titles that you have yet to attain. They put you, and when you get discouraged, these people have planted in your life. They've planted in your dreams, both financially, spiritually, through prayer. These people in your life, they were there to cause you to remember that not only did Martin Luther King say, let freedom ring, and that he had a dream, but that God gave you a dream. Yes, even those other situations, those naysayers, the agents of the enemies of our soul, God is using them to catapult you into your destiny, dreamer. Let the dream come alive. And yet God is bringing his word to you on today to remind you, just like he reminded Jacob. Because remember, in Genesis 31 and 11, when the angel of God came in a dream to Jacob and said, here I am. And remember, when Joseph walked towards his brothers and others, they said, that's Genesis 37 and 19, here comes the dreamer. When people see you and they say, here comes the dreamer, remember to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean unto your own understanding. That's Proverbs 3. Remember to declare God's word that reminds us that God promised that in Acts 2 and 17, that in the last days he shall, God declares, I will pour out my spirit. My. This is what he says. In the last days shall be, God declares this, that he will pour out his spirit on all flesh, white flesh, black flesh, yellow flesh, red flesh, all flesh, African American, Caucasians, Europeans, Japanese, Chinese, Korean, Romanian, Germans, no matter what your race, no matter where you're from. He said he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see vision, and young and old men shall dream dreams. Your name may not be Jacob. Your name may not be Esther. Your name may not be John the Baptist. Your name may not be Joseph. Your name may not be Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Your name may not be Bill Gates. Your name may not be President Obama or First Lady Michelle Obama. Your name may not be President Jimmy Carter. Your name may not be President Abraham Lincoln. But I tell you on today, your name, whether it's Renee or Sheila or LaVon or Brandon or T or Juan or Christopher or Troy or Joy or Antoine or Carlton or Stanley or Mia or Frankie or Katina or Larry or Misha or Jill or Gordon or Terry or Carrie or Perry or Dexter or Stacy or George or Deshaun or Derek or Liz or Liza or Jim or Jimmy or James or Aziza or Paul or David or whatever your name will be, I'll give you a pause right now so that you can put your name and the lineup of dreamers that I just called out your name. Okay, now that you've put your name in the lineup of dreamers, those that God is going to use to bring his glory to life, you must know that you are God's appointed. You are God's called. You are God's chosen. You are God's dreamer. And such a time as this, you need to be ready, be ready, be ready, because God has just released your name and your location to the world, both naturally and spiritually, and he has released his angels, his archangels, his angels of benefit, his angels of blessing, his angels of favor, his angels of protection to cover you until his dreams are fully established in this earth for his glory. So stay focused. Stay on point for God. Remember that God made you a part of his destiny maker. God made you a part of his dreamers for his glory. God reminded us, even on Friday when Minister Sylvia was preaching, that he tells us that we are to bear fruit. We may go through prunes. We may go through various things in life, but we must know that we are his. We're going to bear fruit. We're his handiwork. God also reminded us that he gives us talent. He gives us talents to use, to speak his word. He gives us talents to serve others. He gives us talents to strengthen us. He gives us prayer and praise to help us stay connected to him for his glory, for his power. God reminds us that he will give us spiritual gifts. He will give us natural gifts for not only the building up for the church, but for the nation, to break a people free. We must remember that as dreamers, the cares of life, the strategies of the enemy may come to try to make you give up on the dreams that God has given you. But such a time as this, those manifested dreams will be revealed. They will be manifested, but you must stay focused. Obey God no matter what. You have to make a decision that you'd rather obey God than man. Yes, you are the head and not the tail. Yes, you are above and not beneath. Yes, your name, the dreamer, your yoke-destroying anointing that God has placed on your life is going to allow you to be that doctor, to be that lawyer, to be that millionaire and even greater. You're going to be that preacher. You're going to be that teacher. You're going to be that person that does outreach. You're going to be that person that goes from nation to nation. Yes, God has released your name to the world. And on today, I want you to hear you know that you know that you know that you know that you are a dreamer. You are dreaming those God-given dreams, and that God's going to cause you to keep on dreaming. God's going to cause you to trust him while he manifests your dreams, your God-given dreams, the things that he promised your mother, the things that he promised your father, the things that he promised your grandparents, the things that he promised your uncles and your aunts, the things that he promised your children. It shall come to pass. Why? Because God says so. Because it's for the glory of the Lord. Like I told you at the beginning of this, this is a profound message from God. It's not from Cecilia. God is speaking it through me. Dreamers, arise. Let your dreams arise. Like he said, let freedom ring. Let the dreams ring. Let the dreams be manifest. Let the dreams be established. Obey God. The dream from the dreamer shall be manifest for God's glory. In Jesus' name, it is so. And so it is. And I thank God for each and every one of you for obeying God, for not allowing, just because they say, here comes the dreamer, just because they speak ill of you, just because the fiery darts may come your way, don't stop dreaming. Those things are going to catapult you into your destiny. I just want to share this quick testimony. Years ago, I worked with a whole lot of white males, and I was the only female, and the things that they would do to me and towards me, I did not understand. I cried, I prayed, I did this, I did that. I was just so upset. I couldn't believe how they were coming after me instead of joining with me because if they thought they were so suchy muchy or they knew so much, why didn't they mentor me? Why didn't they pour into me? Why did they come after me to make me feel like not only was I dealing with institutional fear and sexism and racism, why did they always have to gather together against me? Well, when that was going on, I didn't know that God was using that to catapult me into where I am now, into what he's doing in my life, not only spiritually but naturally. The things that he's doing to cause me to be able to stand boldly before people that would try to take me back to that place. Because, see, I can't turn back. I got to stay postured and speak through the boldness from the assurance and the hope of God that he is speaking through me and that I am speaking for him and that his Holy Spirit has endowed me with his peace, his power, and his presence. Because for such a time as this, we obliterate and we annihilate every element, every unit, every atom that looks like institutionalized fear, that looks like institutionalized racism, that looks like institutionalized sexism, that looks like institutionalized microaggressions, that looks like institutionalized discrimination, that looks like institutionalized prejudice. Why do I call it institutionalized? Because now they've become so cunning in the things of the enemy that they know how to disguise it. They know how to cover it up to make you think that what you see is not what you see, but it is. So be free. In the name of Jesus, let freedom ring. Amen and amen. And I'm going to turn the program over to Minister Sheila at this time to pray, share announcements, and whatever the Lord has given her. Minister Sheila.
Good morning. I want to thank you, oh God. I thank you for your words today. They are so much true, so much needed. I just need so many to try to understand all the problems and situations in life we have gone through, but yet some still choose not to be free. But I want to thank God, and I want to thank God for the ones that choose to forever follow him, forever believe in him, and forever cherish him in their life and carry on with his word and his knowledge and his faith forever, forever, and forever. That I choose, because the freedom that we have, some want to take that away. The freedom that we have, some choose not to fulfill it as it should be. The freedom that we have, some of us so much misuse it. But I thank God for the freedom to love him and cherish him. And I thank God that he has given the freedom to walk and to talk and to live in my life. And that is the freedom and the choice I have chosen. And I want to thank each and every one of you all today for listening. I want to thank Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kiper for the alerts, because yet so many of us still today don't understand the life we had to go through for the freedom, that yet they still choose not to be free. But I want to thank the Lord for my family. I want to thank the Lord for each and every person listening on this service this morning. I just want to thank the Lord for all, for each and everyone on this earth today that he has given us, as we can call it, another day of freedom to live. And I pray that we choose to go and take the freedom that he has blessed us with, and to thank and to serve him and to live up under him. That is the best way of freedom that can help you through this world that still is choosing or trying to take your freedom and your life away. Lord, I thank you, and I thank you, and I thank you. I want to thank each and every one of you that's listening. I want, however that you can listen to this morning, I want to ask you if you can join us each and every excuse me, Sunday morning for Let's Talk for 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Apostle-elect Dr. Cecilia Kaiser and myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser, along with Minister Brandon Kaiser. And on Monday nights for Iron Sharpening Iron, with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright, with Minister Brandon Kaiser, and myself, Minister Sheila Kaiser, from 8 p.m. Central Standard Time to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Iron Sharpening Iron, which is also some Mondays on Facebook, too. And I ask you to listen and watch on Friday nights, which is on Facebook and Blog Talk, for Let's Talk Again with Minister Sylvia Kaiser Wright at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to listen to the programs that the Lord have blessed us to have, to encourage you and to let you know the wonders of the Lord through the messages, through the guest speakers, through ourselves, through the knowledge, to let you know God is real. The Lord Jesus is living. He's trying to live in all of you all, but you have the choice. I have the choice. I made the choice, and I choose you all to have and to make the choice of the life that's worth living. And, Lord, I bless you, and I ask you to keep blessing me. I bless your name, Lord, because you are the one in my life, the head of my life, and the one that's controlling my life, because without you, I will not have life. But I ask you and all to believe that God is real, he is for you, he has the love, and he is the way of life. Do not let the devil continue to deceive you, because it might look good right now, but in the end, even he can start good today, and he can damnation you tomorrow. So I ask you to believe the Lord is the life and the love of the heavens, that is the best and the most inspiring love of life you can ever have. Back to you, Apostle Cecilia Kaiser.
I thank you, Minister Sheila, for the announcements and for your words of encouragement. I thank God for his word that he spoke and released on today. I thank God for our foundational scripture that is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Bye-bye.